Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. We've had a lot of babies born to families here in our church recently. It's always a joy when a new baby is born at a church family, and you get to celebrate with the family and you get to enjoy life. It's so good to see our young people. We have so many young people. We have a bumper crop of young people, and excited about seeing them grow up here and being able to minister with them and to them and the parents as well. But you know, when you have a child, and long before you have a child, parents go through this ritual of choosing a name, don't they? They go through this ritual of choosing a name. And the fact is, you didn't choose your name. Your parents chose it for you. Now, some people are probably upset with their parents for the name that they chose, I'm sure. But I looked up what my children's name. It's great when you adopt children. They come pre-named. You don't have to do all that. And but I looked up the names of our children. And Ashley, this is a very original one. It means a meadow of ash trees. Isn't that fantastic, right? I mean, I did a lot of digging. That's what I could come up with, all right? A meadow of ash trees. Now, I did a little bit more digging for Aaron. It was a lot easier, actually. So Aaron means high mountain. It means exalted. It means teacher. It means mountain of strength. And it means enlightened. Also, it means, you're going to like this one, warrior lion. That's a good one, isn't it? Wow, yeah, I should have picked a different name. But isn't that great? You got a lot to live up to, son. I'm telling you. Warrior Lion. He's going to get a big head now, so he won't come off the ceiling for a couple weeks. Now, names mean things, don't they? They do. How many of you here are named John? Can I see your hand? Can you raise your hand? John, all right? We got John over here. We got John over here. My middle name is John, all right? So how many got a middle name? John, all right? Middle names are okay. My dad does too. That's where I got mine. I got mine from my uncle, right? So we've got John here a couple different ways, all right? Now think about it. The name means the grace of God or the gift of God. That's what John means, the grace of God. Now we've got a lot. You've got a lot to live up to. It's just my middle name. David means beloved of God, and so a lot of things go into a name. Here's a thought: what does your name mean? All right. Somebody tell me, what's your name mean? Free man. You're a free man. You live in the best country on earth for that. All right, did I hear somebody up here? Lover of horses. I think I've heard that too. Lover, do you love horses? You ever have horse meat? No? Never been to McDonald's? Okay. Lover of horses. All right, good, good. Someone, what does your name mean? Woman of Judea. I like that one. That's good. Healer. Awesome. Okay, what's your name mean? Sensitive. Okay, don't get too sensitive now. We'll get through that. He's a sensitive guy. All right, good. You had to learn to fight in Detroit, right? You told me that with the name Sensitive in Detroit. You're getting a lot of fights, all right? That's where you grew up. All right, someone else, what does your name mean? Nobody here knows what their name means? Okay, what's your name mean? The Lord remembers. Good, awesome. Song, good, I like that. God is glorious. Boy, that's a lot to live up to, huh? Dweller of the beaver, living in ash meadow with trees, okay? The beaver meadow, okay, good. All right, awesome. Do you still talk to your parents? Okay. Your dad's a great guy, right? He's in heaven, but I know your mom is too. I know both of them. I knew both of them. Okay, someone else. What's your name mean? Okay. Huh? Crowned. Laurel means crown. Laurel. Like a laurel crown. Awesome. You get another one? What is it? Compassionate, sensitive. Good. Okay. So, you know, people get different names, right? They have books of names, and people study names, and I saw that there's a trajectory for names. You know, different people named everybody from the 90s, you know, the kids were named this. Everybody from the 2000s, the kids were named this. And now they have funny names, like, where do you even get these names? Like, you spell them backwards, and you just kind of throw the Scrabble letters on the floor and come up with something. Like, really? Poor kid, right? So Can I say this? There was an Indian father, right? Kind of with the feather, right? And his kids came up to him, and those poor people at Cleveland, huh? Cleveland, what's it called? Generals? Cleveland Guardians. That's so lame. I'm waiting for him to take the guy off the Central High School. Hope they keep it there. God give us some people with guts, right? If I was an Indian, my wife is a little Indian, a little Blackfoot Indian. I think she's always on the warpath, all right? But, you know, Indian, it's awesome. And so can you imagine, she's going to be today, right? Can you imagine the Indian father, his kids came up to him one day, and all the kids are standing there, and the one boy, he looked at his dad, and he said, "Dad, you having an okay time with this?" All right. He said, "Father, how we get our name?" Father looked sternly at his kids and he said, "Well, when your brother was born, we look out teepee window and see Soaring Eagle. We name him Soaring Eagle." And he goes, "Yeah." "Your sister was born. We look out teepee window and see Leaping Deer. We name her Leaping Deer." "Why you ask, puking dog?" Imagine having a name like that. Now, you're born with a name. Your parents gave it to you. But you are also making a name for yourself. And for all of eternity, you will have a new name. Three things. You're born with a name. You can't change that. You're making a name for yourself. That's up to you. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. It's not talking about the name your parents gave you. It's talking about the name that you're making for yourself and the name that you will have for all eternity. Wouldn't we all desire this morning to have a good name? A good name that when your name comes up, a good idea is attached to your name. I thank God when I was growing up, my dad, my mom, had a good name. And in the community, they had a reputation for goodness and honesty and hard work and diligence and godliness and character. My dad, they would call him Honest Ed. That's a good name. If you wanted your car fixed, you'd go see Honest Ed. Because it wasn't going to rip you off and sell you something that you didn't need and tell you he put a new part on and he never put it on. Because people do that, right? A good name. He gave me a good name. I want to give my children a good name. But we make our own name for ourselves. Think about some people in the Bible and their names. We've been looking in Sunday school at Jacob, haven't we? What does the name Jacob mean? Trickster. Supplanter. He cheated his brother out of his birthright. He cheated his brother out of his blessing. That bowl of pottage and then that savory meal and putting that goat's hair on himself and trying to pretend that he was his brother and lying to his father. He had a name of trickster and supplanter, and he cheated his brother out of the birthright and the blessing. But Jacob saw a bad name turn into a good name, didn't he? We looked at it in our Sunday school class. Israel wrestled with the Lord all night. Jacob wrestled with God, and God said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Jacob, a trickster, a supplanter, a cheat, a scoundrel." He said, "Okay, you've admitted it. I'm changing your name to Israel because as a prince with God, you've prevailed." And God changed his name, but he had to identify who he was in his heart. Jacob didn't have to get away from Esau as much as he had to get away from Jacob. He wrestled all night. A prince came out in the morning who has power with God and men. Think about Naomi. Naomi. Her name means pleasant one. And she lived in Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread. She lived with her husband, Elimelech, and her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And the Bible says there was a famine. And they left the house of bread, Bethlehem, Judah, and they went down to Moab, and they sojourned in Moab. Sojourn, the name means a short journey. And they took a short journey that lasted for 10 years. And in the process of 10 years, Elimelech, her husband, died.
Mahlon and Chilion married heathen girls, idol worshippers, Orpah and Ruth. And finally, the two sons died. She decides, I'm going back home for my sojourn, for my short journey, for my little trip down to the grocery store because they don't have any bread. Hey, listen to me. When the economy goes south, people who have faith in God typically do well. You just keep on being faithful to God. You just keep watching God bless you. Don't you back up on God, because when you do, you're going to be like everybody else. They got out of the will of God, and three of them died. Finally, she comes to her daughters-in-law and says, I'm going back home. And Orpah said, good, I'm staying here. And Ruth says, I'm going with you. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And she leaves and goes back to Bethlehem, Judah. And the people of the town see her coming, and they ask the question, is this Naomi? Is this the pleasant one? Is this the lady that left here 10 years ago with a smile on her face, with joy in her heart, with kindness on her lips? Is this the lady who came 10 years ago and we knew her and she was a community figure? And she said, call me not Naomi, pleasant one. Call me what? Mara. Mara means bitter. She was bitter after being out of the will of God for 10 years. Listen, if you get out of the will of God, listen, I know some people this morning that used to sit right where you sit, and their name is Mara, Mr. Mara, and Mrs. Mara, and they're bitter, and they're angry, and they're mad at people, and they're mad at God. The only one they have to blame is themselves, because they got out of the will of God. Now, thank God she came back. Some people never do. Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. She said, I went out full. And I came back empty. That's funny, because she went out because she was empty. She didn't have any old Mother Hubbard's cupboard was bare. She went out empty, and now she came back empty. But it was a different kind of empty. It was in here. She said, I went out full of kindness and compassion and love, and my family was with me. And now I've come back empty. My husband is dead. My two sons are dead. I've got a heathen idol-worshipping daughter-in-law who came with me, and we're going to make the best of it. But now I'm a widow, and she's a widow, and we're going to go out and glean in the fields. And thank God for the book of Ruth. God took care of them. But her name is Mara. So we found Jacob, who had a bad name, and God turned it into a good name. We found a woman who had a good name, and she ruined it and turned it into a bad name. But even God in his grace put her in the genealogy of Christ, didn't he? She came back around. How about Esau? Esau's name means hairy. He had hair all over him, didn't he? Look like an orangutan, right? You got to shave your back. Look at you. You look like a baboon, right? I don't know where that comes from. Here he is, a hairy man. Esau. His name is changed in Genesis 25 and verse number 30. His name now becomes what, you know? Edom. His name becomes Edom in that same verse where he sells his birthright for a bowl of pottage. His name is changed to Edom in that same exact account, and Edom means red. That bowl of red pottage became his heritage. His name was changed from hairy to red. And guess what? His descendants and the country that he founded was called Edom. And every day those people said, my country is the country of Edom. I come from the red country where my forefathers sold his birthright for a bowl of red pottage, and we lost the blessing that we could have had. Wouldn't it be nice to have that one back? The Bible says he sought it carefully with tears. That fornicator, that profane person, Esau, never got it back. His name was changed. He did not have a good name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name is rather to be chosen than money. A good name is rather to be chosen than a bowl of pottage. A good name is rather to be chosen than satisfying yourself right here and right now. If I don't eat this bowl of chili, I'm going to die. What good will my birthright do me? He couldn't see tomorrow. And he couldn't see his kids and his grandkids. And he didn't have the wisdom to see in the future. He only could see here and now. How about Abram? In the Bible, don't we have Abram having his name changed to Abraham? What's that all about? Abram, it's a lot easier. Hey, Abram, come to supper. By the time you say Abraham, it's already cold.
food's cold, right? Abraham, right? Three syllables. Abram, come to supper. Hey, come to supper. But Abram means this. Abram means exalted father. He was an exalted father, but when God gave him the promise of the stars of the heavens and the sand of the seashores, he said, I'm changing your name to Abraham, the father of many nations. What a great man of faith Abraham was. How about Sarai? Sarai's name, who is changed to what? Sarah. Originally, her name was Sarai, which means princess. And God changed her name to my princess. That's pretty special, isn't it? He said, you're not only a princess. Gus, you're going to have a rough afternoon, right? You're living with a princess. You know, I live with a princess. You live with my princess. That's a good upgrade, isn't it? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Simon, as the Lord comes by and there's a man fishing in John chapter 1, verse number 42. And he said, Simon, son of Jonah. Simon means he had heard, or one who listens. Hey, one who listens, I'm going to change your name. Remember this one? To Cephas. Or, what's his other name? Peter. We have a book in our Bible by 1 and 2 Peter, don't we? I'm going to change your name from one who listens and one who hears to Cephas or Peter, a stone and a rock. A good name. You know, some names bring fear. Saul of Tarsus. Boy, if we were meeting in church in the first century prior to Acts chapter number 9, and somebody said, Saul of Tarsus, we'd head for the door. Why? Because he hailed many men and women and cast them into prison and had them executed. What was their crime? Being a Christian, being of that way. Saul of Tarsus was a name to be feared. And his name was changed to Paul the Apostle. Hey, the word Paul means small and humble. Paul was humble and God exalted him. A man mightily used of God. Ananias heard he was supposed to go see Saul of Tarsus. And he said, Lord, I can't go see that guy. He's a bad guy. God said he's a chosen vessel. I'm changing his name. Hey, some of you this morning need your name changed. Some of you this morning need that name that you've been building for your life. You need it changed. You need it transformed. You need it improved. You need it fixed. You need God to change your name from Jacob to Israel. You need God to change your name from Saul of Tarsus to Paul, the mighty apostle. You're born with a name that you didn't choose. But you know, you can legally change your name. I read a story when I was a kid. This guy had a name, and he was an Indian. It's Indian morning, all right? His name was Chief Screeching Train Whistle. And he would write that thing down all the time, Chief Screeching Train Whistle. By the time he got done, everybody left, right? Chief Screeching Train Whistle. He went down to the judge and said, I'd like to have my name changed. He said, what'd you like to have it changed to? He said, Toot. Dude. My pastor used to tell about a guy he knew. His name was Bill Thurston Pusser. Can you imagine that name? I don't know where that name ever comes from. He went down and had his name changed. What do you have his name changed to? Bob Thurston Pusser. Who's shorter? That's where Billy Bob came from, maybe, huh? You're born with a name that you didn't choose. You can legally change your name, but most people don't. Or you can make your name a good name. A good name is rather to be chosen. You see, we choose our good name. We choose what we make of our name. We choose our reputation. We don't choose the name that's on our birth certificate. That's chosen for us. But you choose what you make of your character for the rest of your life. A good name is priceless. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. Can I say this? You're born with a name that you didn't choose. But you're making a name for yourself. We think of a reputation when we hear a name, don't we? All right, let me give you a name. Abraham Lincoln had a two-word reputation. The last word was Abe. What was the first word? Honest Abe. A reputation. He walked how many miles, right? To bring back a library book. I read that story. Kids don't read that anymore, right? He's probably a bad guy. Listen. Everybody look up here. You're making a reputation for yourself. We think of a reputation when we hear a name. In the book of Joshua, there is a lady who has a reputation. Rahab the what? Harlot. Wait a minute. She was a harlot. But she brought in the spies, and she helped defeat Jericho for God and for the cause of God. And then she finds herself in Matthew chapter 1 in the genealogy of Christ, the great, 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 great grandmother of Christ. But she'll always be remembered as Rahab the harlot. Well, you're not very forgiving. Rahab the harlot. I think she's in the Hall of Fame. Rahab the harlot. Unfortunately, sometimes a bad name is hard to change. You're building a name. What's your reputation? You're building an idea that comes up when your name is mentioned. What is your reputation? You know, I'd like to think that our reputation, when your name comes up, when my name comes up, that our reputation is a godly person, a faithful person, a hardworking person, an honest person, a kind person, a caring person, a compassionate person, a person with love, a person who goes out and reaches out to other people and helps other people and is genuinely concerned about people, a giving person. Jacob said to his two sons, Simeon and Levi, in Genesis chapter 34, he said, ye have troubled me and made me to stink among the inhabitants of the land. Jacob said, you've taken my reputation and you've sullied it. You've taken my name and you've dragged it through the mud and you made me to stink because of their behavior. Ananias and others were afraid of Saul of Tarsus after his conversion. Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Have you heard the expression? And this is the old expression. We've kind of fixed it up a little bit. As you make your bed, so you must lie in it, right? That old expression. You make your bed, now you sleep in it, right? As you've made your bed, so you must lie in it. You're making a name for yourself. The name you're making is your name. But may I say this? Here's something that we don't think about. It goes much farther than that. You're born with a name. You can't change that. You're making a name, and you're working on that today. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 2? Revelation chapter number 2. Number 3. You are forging a forever name. You are forging a forever name. Revelation 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. A new name written. Now, who's doing the speaking in Revelation chapter 2? Jesus Christ. As he walks among the seven golden candlesticks and he comes to these seven churches and he writes a letter and here to Pergamos and he said to him that overcometh, Can you answer your question? Where does that overcoming take place? In heaven or on earth? On earth. To him that overcometh. Past tense. To him that overcometh on earth, I'm going to do three things for you. Jesus said, number one, I am going to give you to eat of the hidden manna. Now listen, I don't know what all that means, but it sounds good. I'm going to give you to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. In old Bible times, when a man would come to court, and the jury would have a verdict, and they would present that verdict to the judge, to the person, whether they're guilty or innocent, they'd have two stones. One would be a dark-colored stone, and that would be guilty, and one would be a white stone, and that stone would be innocent. And Jesus said, when you overcome down there in the past tense on the earth and the life that you're living right now, I'm going to give you three things. I'm going to give you to eat of the hidden manna. Man, that sounds good. I'm going to give you a white stone, and I'm going to declare you innocent. And in that stone, there is a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Hey, can I tell you, the person who gives it to you also knows what it says, because he's the one who wrote it. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you a new name. Do you understand that up in heaven, your name is not going to be what it is now? Do you understand that up in heaven, my name is not going to be my name what it is now? I'm going to have a new name. But it depends on what I did, what kind of name I have when I get there. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, a white stone, a new name. For all of eternity, you and I will have a new name. We sing that song, don't we? There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. Hey, there's a new name. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do you understand that if your name is not written in the book of life, if it's not written in heaven by trusting Jesus Christ and his shed blood for you at Calvary, that you will die and go to hell for all eternity? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It says across the page, verse number 27 of chapter 21, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that's ever lived has their name written in the book of life. When you receive Christ as your Savior, your name gets put in the Lamb's book of life. That's why people are blotted out of the book of life, but never blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. In order to go to heaven, you have to have your name written down twice. Once because you're alive, and twice because you're born again. When you die, your name is blotted out of the book of life if you're lost. That's why the Bible says, and I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. Dead are not recorded in the book of life because they're dead without Christ. The saved are recorded in the book of life and the Lamb's book of life, and they go to heaven for all eternity. Has there been a time when your name was written there in the book of life? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Do you understand, as a sinner, we stand before a perfect and a holy and a righteous God. We stand with our sin that condemns us. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The punishment for sin is death and hell. God, who loves us, sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sin, to fulfill the law, to be tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, and yet to pay the penalty of sin, and now offers to trade places with us and offer his salvation and righteousness on our account and pay for all of our sins and give us the gift of God, which is eternal life. Have you received Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, and you will die and go to hell, but it doesn't have to be that way. Come to Christ today. For your name written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life, if you're here this morning, you know Christ as your Savior. Can I encourage you this morning, make sure that you're an overcomer. To him that overcometh, Where? Heaven or earth? Earth. Will I give to eat of the hidden manna and a white stone the new name written? The Lord Jesus Christ knows who is an overcomer. If you're in Revelation, look at chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 11. And they overcame him, the accuser, Satan. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. You see, the overcoming comes before the death, right? If you're going to be an overcomer and have God know your name as an overcomer, you've got to do it before you die. To overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, to know Christ as your Savior, to be saved, blood washed, on your way to heaven, born again, a child of God. And number two, the word of their testimony. What's your testimony today? Your testimony is your name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A testimony. Hey, that person is blood washed. They've overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. And they're an overcomer by the word of their testimony. They're an out-and-out Christian. They're living for God. They're serving God. They're faithful to God. They're in the Word of God. They're on their knees talking to God. They're winning other people to God. They're living for God, an overcomer. They're resisting temptation. I hope when our name comes before God that it's a good name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I hope that our name comes before God and it is a righteous name. One who is not only have the righteousness of Christ through salvation, but has the righteousness of Christ through a righteous and a holy and a godly and a pure life. A good name. I hope our name is a holy name, a pure name, a worthy name. Think about this. In heaven and for all eternity, you are going to have a new name. I'm not going to be David John Carlson when I get to heaven. I'm not even going to be Pastor David John Carlson when I get to heaven. I don't know what I'm going to be, but I'm going to have a new name. Now, I kind of like my old name. I've been attached to it for a long time. But when we get to heaven and have perfect knowledge, we shall know even as we are known, but we're going to have a different name, a new name. Jesus is the one giving the hidden manna. Jesus is the one giving the white stone. And Jesus is the one giving the new name. And he's the one who wrote it. I wonder what it will be. Well, I know this. From Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 17, it will be a personal name. No man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. A personal name. Your name is going to be different than other people's names. Your name's going to be unique to you, a personal name. You know, there are other people that probably have your name, right? Remember going to class and there was like four people with your name. And the teacher called your name. She'd say, no, the one with the last name, right? And have to call you one, two, three, right? Most of the time, there's different people. So I've had people with my first name and last name. Pretty common name. But when you get to heaven, you're going to have a personal name. When you get to heaven, the Bible tells us here, he which hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, sometimes we have an ear and we don't listen. Didn't Jesus say, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear? Sometimes we just let something go in one ear and out the other ear because there's nothing in the middle to stop it. Because we're really not paying attention. How many times has a parent said to their child, are you listening to me? Jesus said, listen to me. He that hath an ear to hear. Hey, you had a name when you were born. You're making a reputation and a name for yourself. But listen, pay attention. Slap yourself. Because for all of eternity, you are going to have a new name. And you're not going to be able to change it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. The Bible says you're going to have a new name. I wonder what it will be. It will be a personal name. I wonder what it will be. It will be earned by what we do here. The overcomer overcame here. He or she who is given a new name will be a forever name up there. Aren't we earning rewards at the judgment seat of Christ by what we do here? Gold, silver, precious stone. Is that for good or for bad? Good. What's the other three? Wood? Hay? Stubble. Listen, the things that I do that aren't going to make it to heaven are going to burn up like wood and hay and stubble. And it's going to be nothing but ashes at the judgment seat of Christ for all those things. But the things that I do that last for eternity are going to be like gold and silver and what? Precious stones. But once I get there, it's too late to change it. I'm afraid I'm going to have a couple of cords of wood up there already. I'm afraid I might even have a whole forest up there already. I'm afraid I'm going to have a lot of fields of hay and straw, and it's going to be, I can't change it. But I can get busy over here and say, you know what? I want to be an overcomer from today for the rest of my life. I want to be an overcomer and send forth more gold, silver, and precious stones than I do wood, hay, and stubble. Hey, you ought to want to be an overcomer today. Because one day you're making a name for yourself. I said, you are forging a forever name. When you forge something, it's done. It's permanent. I know of a few good names. Jesus said this, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Those are good names. How'd you like to have that for a name? Hey, good, come here. Hey, good and faithful and servant, come here. But it's by what we do today. He that overcometh. Hey, if you're not a good and faithful servant, you're not going to hear that. You know, in that same account, there was a slothful servant. There was a wicked servant. There was an unprofitable servant. Hey, listen, how would you like for all eternity to have the Lord Jesus Christ give you a name and a stone and it says unprofitable? Don't you think that there are Christians on this earth today that are unprofitable for God? Of course there are. The Bible tells us who they are. They are saved, yet so as by fire. They're just on their way to heaven, and that's it. Unprofitable. And for all eternity, I believe their name is going to be useless. Can you imagine that? In heaven, you got a new name, and your name came out. Here we go. Hello. My name is useless. How'd you like to walk around? That'd be a funny joke at a party, right? But it wouldn't be funny forever. Hey, my name is Lazy. And for all eternity, you walk around and God says, hey, Lazy, come here. Well, you probably aren't on a bed yet. You couldn't come to Sunday school. Hey, listen to me. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Hey, when we meet together for, that's what he's talking about church. You meet together for church, Jesus is here. Hey, I want to be somewhere where Jesus is. Jesus is not at the mall. Jesus is not at the lake. Jesus is not in your bed sleeping, 10 toes up. Jesus is not doing yard work while the house of God is meeting. He is here today. He is present today. And I'm here and you're here. Thank God we're here. But how'd you like to have that name? Lazy. Oh, I couldn't get up and go to Sunday school. Bless God. Don't bless God. God's already blessed. Hey, listen. Let's not go to the bathroom anymore, okay? We have a moratorium on going to the bathroom. You can't go to the bathroom until I'm done preaching. If I have to stand up here and preach and I can't go to the bathroom, you can hold it. There will be those in heaven known by a new name. There will be those in heaven known as overcomers. There will be those in heaven known as faithful to God and good and servants. But there will also be those known not by their good name, but rather by their bad name. Think about this. Ananias and Sapphira. Acts chapter 5. Listen, they were not bad people. They were good people. They started out good. They were members of the church in Jerusalem, weren't they? Listen, you didn't get to be a member of the Church of Jerusalem by being not caring, okay? There was a price on your head.
They were members of the church of Jerusalem. Listen, they saw Barnabas bring proceeds from a property that he sold and give it all to God. They said, hey, we're going to do that. We're going to give it all. And so they came and they brought some of it. Peter said, Did you bring everything, Ananias? He said, oh, yeah, we gave it all to God. He said, you're a liar. And he fell over dead. Wind him up and throw him in the ground. Sapphira came shortly after that. Hey, Sapphira, did you sell the land for so-and-so? Yeah, we sold it for so-and-so. You're a liar, too. Boom, place where your husband is, that's where they're going to throw her carcass in the ground. I love the name Sapphira, don't you? I think that is a beautiful name. If I was a girl, I'd want that name. I'm not a girl, okay? My name is Sapphira. I do not know anybody named Sapphira. It's beautiful. It's like a sapphire. A sapphire is expensive. I think that is one of the prettiest names in the world, Sapphira. But nobody names their child Sapphira. Why? Bad connotation. How'd you like to be in heaven? And there's, hey, didn't I read about you in the Bible? Oh, yeah. Let's see. Acts chapter 5. Oh, yeah, but you know what? I have a new name up here. What's your name? Thief. What's your name? Liar. What's your name? Cheat. What's your name? Worthless. That's a tough name to live with forever. You know, you're making a name forever. Listen, while I'm on the subject, listen, I don't know who tithes and who doesn't. I do not. I sign letters once a year. I don't look at it. I don't care. You know what? If you tithe, that's your business. If it's between you and God. I tithe. God's blessing me, okay? This church is paid off. We don't need your money. You need the tithe. God is going to get his tithe. We're meeting our budget. We don't have a problem paying the bills, right? If everybody tithed, we could throw money in the boiler and burn it and heat this building. Not today. But you need to tithe. Listen, I had a paper route when I was a kid, and I came home, and I dumped all my money out on the table, and I said, Mom, look, here's my dad right here. I said, Mom, look, I made $20. And she said, son, you didn't make $20. You made $18. Because the first $2 belongs to God. You're going to tithe. And my mom raised me to tithe. And my dad raised me to tithe. I made $1.25. That was child labor, Dad. $1.25 an hour working for that man. And I'd count up those hours, and boy, I'd get paid, and I had a tithe. $1.25 an hour. How much is that? A tithe. Some 13 cents. Thank you. Some people would say 12 and a half. You know, one day you'll become a Christian and you'll tithe that other half a cent. You'll give it to the missions. Okay? $42.61. You're a skinflint. And forever your name is going to be skinflint. Listen, I've been tithing ever since, and God's been blessing ever since. Now, you need to figure it out. I'm going to be faithful to God because God's going to get his tithe. Somebody said, hey, where's old so-and-so? Listen, don't miss it. He's down at the hospital. They're taking out his tithes. Yeah, you know it's true. You are going to tithe. You'll tithe to the plumber. You'll tithe to the electrician. You'll tithe to the car mechanic. You'll tithe to the doctor. You're going to tithe to somebody because God ain't letting you keep it. That's bad grammar, but that's good preaching. Ananias and Sapphira holding up the work of God. How'd you like to have that name for all eternity? Here's one. How do you think someone will have a love for God's word in heaven when they don't have a love for God's word here? You're going to get to heaven and it's going to be all about the word of God because he's the light of heaven, Jesus Christ. And boy, it's hard to get you to read your Bible for 5 minutes in one chapter or three chapters. You check off the box and you go on and you spend more time doing stupid stuff than you do in the word of God. And all of a sudden they're going to say, hey, Jesus is teaching the book of Revelation. And you're like, nah, I already did my devotions. I'm not going. You're going to be called disinterested. I'm disinterested. For all eternity, you're going to walk around. Yeah, what's my name? My name is disinterested. And they say, hey, Paul is going to be preaching. And Paul could preach a long time. Because while Paul was long preaching, there's Eutychus, and he's in the window. And you know why he fell out? Because he was only halfway in. When you're only halfway in, you're going to fall out. And Paul is long preaching, and he's up in the third loft, and about the second point, he falls asleep, and he falls out the window, and you're going to hear preaching in heaven, and you're going to go to sleep. And they're going to give you a name like Jonah. Sleeper! Arise, O sleeper! Or you don't go, so absentee. Listen, I don't get paid anymore whether you come tonight or not. Matter of fact, when you come, it's more work for me because I can't preach the same sermon I preached this morning. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the what? The more! Listen, you need to be in church 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. 3 to thrive. Where do you get this Sunday morning thing? It's Catholic. That's what it is. You go there on Saturday night, and you go get your church on Saturday night so you can get drunk. Not you. The sermon tonight is, you're not drunk, but, okay? So come and find out what that one is. Come back tonight. I know you have a medical condition. We all have a medical condition. I have high blood pressure. I give high blood pressure. Come back tonight. Disinterested. Lazy, loafer. How about this? Ungodly. How'd you like to wear that one for all eternity? God says, I know your heart. What's in your heart? You're making a name, not only a name that you will have for a character here, but you're making a new name that you will wear up there. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. I'll give him a white stone, and I'll give him a new name. I want a new name. That's a good one. You know, people who don't like preaching up in heaven, they're going to try to duck out. Hey, is there another place we can go? Yeah, but it's really hot. Maybe I should have gone there first. Something you'd rather do than be in God's house for the preaching of the Word of God. You're going to have a new name. How would you like your forever name to be lazy, slothful, unfaithful, disinterested, unkind, rude? Here's a good one. Gossip. Oh. Sneaky. Hey, when we think of Thomas, what's his name? He wasn't in church on Sunday night. Hey, we've seen the Lord. Oh, I don't believe it unless I put my hand in the nail prints and thrust my hand into his side. I ain't believing it. Jesus showed up again. He was there. And he said, here, Thomas, it's me. Put your hand in the print of the nails. Thrust your hand in my side. Be not faithless, but believing. He said, my Lord and my God. But forever, Thomas went on to be a great missionary. But forever he's known as who? You're just not very forgiving. You're not very fair. Doubting Thomas. Anybody here named Thomas? Probably all your life. Doubting Thomas, right? Can I encourage you? Because you always have to finish with something encouraging. If I think of something else, I'll mention it. If you don't pay attention, I'll go back to the last point, all right? As long as you're still alive, the last chapter has not been written. Hey, whatever you had as character for your name, God can change it. As long as you've got a life and breath to breathe, God can change your name and God can change your character and God can change your forever name when you get to heaven. You can change your name and God can change your name. You're born with a name. You can't do anything about that. You're making a name. You can do everything about that. And one day you will wear a forever name, a new name. The Lord Jesus Christ will give it to you. What does the Lord, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ does not forget anything. You know, we can cheese ball people, right? We can say, you know what, yeah. We can tell a long story that, oh, listen, I got all these awards and all these accolades, and boy, I did all this and all that, and some people just can't prove it. And they're like, oh, yeah, people fool people all the time, right? But you're not fooling Jesus.
He says, I'm going to give you a new name, and it's going to be an accurate name. Oh, listen, I've got a lot of work to do. I've got a lot of work to do. Maybe you have a lot of work to do. Why don't we meet here at the altar and say, God, I was born with a name. I can't change it. I've got a name I'm building. I want it to be a good name for people on this earth. But more importantly than that, I want it to be a good name when I get to heaven that I wear forever.